When I was a junior in college, I had the great good fortune to, to go to the Middle East where I studied the Arab-Israeli conflict for 4 months. And for the first month, we were in Amman, Jordan, and for the next 3 months, we were in mostly in the Old City in Jerusalem, but we also traveled throughout Israel-Palestine and the West Bank and Gaza. And during the time that I was in Jordan, mostly we volunteered in a Palestinian refugee camp. And during that time, I got to know a 12-year-old Palestinian girl who told me quite a bit about what she and her family had suffered at the hands of Israeli Jews. And one day she said something to me that I have never forgotten. She said, "I would like to kill every Jew." I was shocked to hear that, but I was not surprised. I'm telling this story not to fault her for her anger. I'm also not telling this story to say that she became a bad and violent person. The reason I'm telling this story is because I think it illustrates what happens to most of us when we are wronged. Our first instinct usually is to want to hurt back, to stop it, to make it stop, or to make someone else suffer as we've suffered. And, I mean, we've looked around and seen it in our life, in our world. Violence begets violence, and suffering begets suffering. Sometimes it's the wrongs that we do to each other, and sometimes it's the loss that we experience, like the loss of Yanni. So I want to ask all of you to think for a moment over the trajectory of your life and think about the parts of your life where you feel stuck in patterns of suffering that begets suffering. If you don't know what I mean by that, maybe think about, you know, your parents weren't good to you in a certain way, and you've remained stuck in a pattern that reflects that. Someone hurt you, and you've found yourself in a defense mode from that experience. That actually is not life-giving to you or to other people, but you don't know how to break out of that. So the question we're going to ask today is, how do we get out of those cycles of violence and suffering that only perpetuate themselves? In today's text, Joseph is confronting his brothers. And forgive me, I'm going to repeat just a little bit just to remind you all what the story is in case you don't know it. Joseph and his brothers were sons of one father, Jacob, but sons of more than one mother. Jacob loved one of the mothers and her children, but not the other mothers and their children. So what that created was a terrible experience for the children who weren't loved. The sons of Jacob who were not loved lived with the pain and the injustice of not being loved by their father. And what they did out of that pain was to sell their brother Joseph, who was loved, into slavery. Not really a good choice. Anyway, Joseph eventually became second in command in Egypt. There was a worldwide famine. The brothers came to Egypt to be fed, and they encountered Joseph there. Joseph invited them all to Egypt, and he cared for them and their father Jacob. Then Jacob died. And the brothers thought, oh no, now we're about to finally catch it because our father is no longer around to make Joseph restrain himself. And they begged him for forgiveness. And what Joseph said was this: you meant your actions for evil, but God meant them for good, to preserve life for many people. And he did not retaliate against them. So what Joseph did was he found God's irresistible will for life in his story, despite his suffering. So there's several things that we need to unpack about that story. The first one is, did God mean that violence to happen to Joseph? Did God kind of orchestrate the whole thing and kind of manipulate people to do bad things so that Joseph could go to Egypt and do all that? And the answer is, I don't believe so at all. I don't believe God ever wills abuse or violence. I do believe that God's will for life is so strong that nothing is stronger than it. Nothing can defeat it ultimately. The second thing I want to point out about this story is that only Joseph could discover and name God's will for life in his story. I mean, can you imagine if his brothers had come up to him and said, Joseph, you know, I know we sold you as a slave, but if we hadn't done that, you wouldn't have become this rich, powerful guy. So really, it was good, right? You know, I don't think it would have gone over well. Joseph was the only one who could discover and name God's will for life in his story. And the final thing is, you notice Joseph never says, I forgive you. What does that mean? Did he forgive his brothers? Today's gospel lesson says that we must indeed forgive. But I think something that's important about the story is this. Joseph refers to God. Am I in the place of God? Jesus does the same thing when he's dying on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Ultimately, it's God's role to forgive. And it's God's role to release all of us from the endless cycles of violence and pain that we get stuck in and that lead us to inflict more pain on ourselves and other people. So let's go back to the question I asked you at the beginning. Where in your life have you experienced the suffering that begets suffering? And how might you discover and name God's will for life, even in spite of that suffering? In my own life, after I encountered that Palestinian girl, I also met a whole lot of other people in the Middle East, and many of them were doing awful things. And gradually, over the course of that experience, I found that my faith in God and religion and humanity was being eroded. Until finally one day I just woke up and found I believed nothing that I had been taught in church. And it wasn't a conscious choice. It was just I woke up one day and discovered I don't believe any of this. And what I did then was to kind of go off in a rage for a few years. And I acted out. I had a pesky little chemical abuse issue or two or three. I did all kinds of other things that I'm not proud of. I caused, in my anger, I caused a lot of pain to myself and other people. And it took me a long time to emerge from that period. And there have been times in my life that I feel that that period was just wasted. I mean, I know I felt angry for understandable reasons, but what I did with my anger felt like a waste. But actually, over the past year and a half, as I have been encountering young people who are caught in similar patterns of drug abuse and all kinds of acting out, I found at YouthLink I can relate to them. It's not that I'm their benefactor. I have walked in shoes that are like theirs. And even though I was never homeless, I can recognize my story in theirs. And I actually think God is redeeming the part of my life that I thought was wasted. Now, this is not a story that I'm kind of imposing on my own narrative to make it sound better. This was something that emerged slowly and unexpectedly time after time as I would be sitting there at YouthLink looking at that person going, yeah, actually, I remember that. So I don't think we can make up a story about our lives that will make sense of it enough that we feel better about the suffering we've gone through. But I do think God is always active for life in our stories, and that if we slow down enough to pay attention, we'll discover those areas enough to name them. So I would like you to invite you to review your life. And review those places where you have felt stuck in patterns of suffering that perpetuates itself. And I'd like to invite you to try to even have a tiny bit of trust that God is active in those areas and try to name what they are. You know, you may have a story that's similar to mine. You may have had, you know, pretty outrageous moments, or you may not have. You may have just been a golden child your whole life. If you have, terrific, good for you. Regardless of whether you're the golden child or the rebel or whatever you've been, Jesus said, blessed are the poor, and blessed are the poor in spirit. We all have poverty of spirit. We've all suffered, regardless. If you can't find any sign of God in your suffering or despite your suffering, I want to invite you to start telling each other your stories. Sometimes it's not until we actually articulate them that we can name the will of God for life in them. So let us continue to practice story with one another so that we can discover that God has always and only ever wanted life for us. Amen.